closer.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network.
Good morning, hello, and welcome.
Ciao!
We are back. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. My name's Jason with my beautiful wife, Ashley. Say hello.
Hello!
And we will take you through our little bit of what's happening in our lives here in Le Marche, Italy, in the town of Piobico. And it is a beautiful day this morning. It's the morning of the 19th of November. It's 9:15 in the a.m. and we are...
0 degrees.
0 degrees currently. 9:15 in the a.m. 9:16 in the a.m. That's going to be 44 minutes before 10 o'clock. We haven't done a podcast in like 6 months.
We have a lot to catch up on. We are all over the place. Let's just talk about what we're doing today right now.
Okay, so tomorrow we have our pranzo di ringraziamento, our Thanksgiving lunch. And we do this every year, either right around or right before Thanksgiving, to thank all the people all our friends and neighbors who've helped us during the year. And it's great. I love it. We do a whole turkey and...
It's the one time we really do something Americana for our neighbors. And they love it. We do the turkey. The butcher always gets a crack out of it, like, because they never order a whole turkey. And in fact, there was a disaster yesterday at the grocery store because Jason ordered, how much, you said nothing bigger than like...
12 kilos.
That's what I was going to say, 12 kilos. I swear that's what you said. We show up yesterday... That thing was 18 kilos.
40 pounds. There was a 40-pound turkey weight.
It was huge.
And I look at the butcher. He goes, well, we didn't have a 10 to 12 kilo one, so we got you an 18 kilo one. And I look at it, the thing literally will not fit in my oven.
He was like, we don't really have different sizes you can order. It's just a small one, a medium, or a big one. And there's no mediums, so it's just a small or a big. So we sent you big. It was like, oh my God.
I've never seen a turkey like this before.
How the hell would you even put it in a brine?
In a brine? How are you going to fit it in our oven?
That is true. That's what you kept saying. Our oven's only 90 centimeters.
Our oven's only 90 centimeters. There's no way it'll fit.
And then he'd look and go, oh, yeah, that's not going to work. So we're getting ready for this lunch. And it is. It's nice. We literally give thanks to our friends and neighbors. And so for me, I feel like it's more... more weighty than the Thanksgivings we would do in the States with family, where, yes, we would have pie night, which was awesome, but pie night was my family's kind of party night before Thanksgiving. But it really feels like a true meaning of Thanksgiving.
No? Yes, and we're doing a American/Italian menu.
Yeah, this year, because after some years when things like cornbread don't fly, it's
no.
Like pig food.
And having all the side dishes on the table with the turkey is kind of strange, too.
So overwhelming.
It's just too much. It's too overwhelming. So we'll break it up into antipasta, primo, secondo.
So what's our menu?
So for antipasta, hold on.
Oh, please don't mind me as I crack nuts.
As Ashley shells walnuts. So for antipasta, we're going to have... spaghettini crostini, the
delicious.
Chicken liver crostini.
Delicious.
We're going to do...
That's not only... I mean, that's super traditional for the area, but that seems like it would fit a fancy lunch, Thanksgiving lunch.
Sure. Why not? So chicken liver crostini, we're doing prosciutto, salami, lonzo, blah, blah, blah. I'm doing a beautiful farro salad with walnuts and truffle.
And pomegranate.
I love that salad.
It is so good.
You can find the recipe for that salad on our blog as well.
I just posted it.
And what else? I'm doing something else. Oh, I'm doing a little polenta with a capriolo, a venison ragu.
Yeah, because I really wanted something corn. Like, I wanted some polenta or cornbread. And we thought, what would be something nice to add to it? And then Gaji had this deer, so...
Yeah, I'll make a nice little ragu, and we'll serve it...
in those little earthenware pots
for every four people. So it's just a couple of tastes. It's not like a big plate of polenta.
No, but that'll be good.
And then, let's see, primo, first course.
Oh, my God.
Cappelletti and brodo, the little hats in broth.
Which we spent...
12 hours...
Doing it two days ago. Oh, my God. So you used 36 eggs, you said?
No, let's see. The first one I did 20, and then we did another 15. So we did 35 eggs.
35 eggs.
of worth of pasta, and a couple of kilos worth of filling, and we have almost six.
And what's the filling? Tell the listeners.
Oh, the filling is lean veal, lean pork, sausage, chicken, and then you grind, and then you throw it all into a pot with some carrot and some nutmeg, and what else? Something else.
Buccia di limone.
Lemon zest. And you just cook it down in its own juice until it kind of starts falling apart. Then you run it through the food processor. You add a couple of handfuls of Parmesan cheese, adjust the seasonings, and there you go. And then
it's good. Gachi was all up in arms. Oh! Him and Rosanna wanted to help so bad with it. It was really sweet, but we just kind of wanted to get it done and whatever, do it on our own pace and not make a big deal about it. And he popped over in the middle of hunting in the morning and was like, "What? You're making capillary and burner? No? I'll send Rosanna over immediately." And we were like, "No, no, no, it's okay." And then he was tasting the stuffing and was like,
"Too much cheese.
Too much cheese. It's a different color than Rosanna's." And I was like, "Well, maybe it's the eggs." And he couldn't stop eating it, but he couldn't stop saying that it was just a little bit different. Couldn't put his finger on it. He was so funny. And then, of course, like clockwork, Rosanna showed up about 15 minutes after he was here and said, "I heard you're making capillary and brodo. Why did no one tell me?" And then she helped us for a little bit and then headed over to Pia's.
Yep.
But it was, like, scandalous that we didn't tell anyone we were making this because they were like, "Why didn't you say? We would have had a party here to help."
So,
which we should have, because it literally took 12 hours.
So now I know why we always do it.
As a party, yes.
So that's what's going on today. We're baking right now. I have a cake in the oven. Ashley's shelling the walnuts.
I'm going to bake.
Ashley's going to do some baking. And we have some lots of cleaning to do to get the downstairs kitchen, dining room in order, because we've been closed now for the couple weeks.
Yeah, since like the beginning of November.
Beginning of November, we shut down. And so it's nice. It's nice to do one last hurrah, one last party, and I love having everyone over. And it's fun.
It's nice. What else is going on?
All right, so let's catch up from the summer.
From like, yeah, exactly. From
maybe
summer.
June or July.
Jeez Louise, sorry guys, we just got busy.
It is. It's really hard to do a podcast and edit it and put out something that's interesting and quality and that I want to listen to when we're so busy. So,
and just to have the time to get it up. Like, I got to get to town before the information we put up then is
old. That's true. We have to edit it. So you guys don't care about this. Really.
I know. Sorry.
But we'll be better about putting out a podcast much, much more frequently than we have been doing. That's a chestnut.
Who eats chestnuts?
Everyone here eats chestnuts.
I know. But does anyone in the States really eat them? Like, they're in the bowls of mixed nuts when you see a few things. But I've never seen anyone.
Who eats raw chestnuts?
Exactly. But why are they in those?
I don't know. Well, you're going all over the place. Let's stay on topic. Let's stay on topic here.
On topic.
We're catching up. So
hot topics.
The summer went really well. We had a really hot, long.
Oh my gosh.
Indian summer with autumn just came around here within the last week and a half.
Yeah, and like the air all of a sudden got cold and freezing, and we only had our heavy first freezes about a week ago. Wouldn't you say?
No,
we had one
first frost was in end of October.
True, but then it got warm again.
Then it did, yep.
It got so warm, we still had flowers out.
Flowers were re-blooming, the garden was
still bees were back. Like, it was just weird. It was so out of whack at the end of October, early November. I just thought, what the hell time of year is this? It really felt like early spring.
But now the air changed, and this morning it was -7 degrees.
You might hear the fire crackling in the background. It's fire season again.
Yep, we got the garden turned. We had the tractor come the other day, and
Severino and Enzo.
Enzo, they came and flipped the garden. So now before we take off, we have to throw the manure on the garden.
Throw the manure, literally pile by pile.
Plant our fava beans, plant our garlic, and then we can be really done with the garden for the year.
That'll be nice. Thank God he came over. What took 2 hours, 3 hours?
Not even 3 hours.
Okay, 2 hours and €50 was so completely worth it.
Yeah, it would have taken me 2 weeks to till flip it all by.
And how about just even the weeds and everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're going to kind of have screwed ourselves for the summer or for the spring, huh?
We didn't not pulling all the weeds into the whole
yard.
Yeah,
we did it a little lazy man style this year.
We just turned it all over.
Yes. I don't know if those hardcore gardeners out there
would approve of us just turning the weeds in back into the soil.
No, but for the average Joe, you'd be like, hell yeah, that was awesome.
didn't have to peel it.
Yes.
Or pull it.
Yes.
Oh my
God. It was nice to watch that tractor just turn it all. Because we had pulled all of the tomato plants, and all of the poles. And man, the tomato plants, you did the poles and Gaji, and the peppers, it took forever.
Yeah, it's a big garden. It takes a long time.
Like, two rows felt like it took about a full hour, and it was hard work.
Enough about the garden. It's done.
Enough about the garden?
Anyway, so we still have coming up, we still have radicchio in there. We still have cabbage. We still have broccoli.
Lettuces.
We had it last night. We have the winter lettuces. So there's still a little bit of stuff in there. We left kind of an island where all the winter vegetables
were. Here's what I don't understand. How does the, not rutabaga, rhubarb. How does the rhubarb come back when, are the roots that deep? Like, you planted it this year. We tilled the soil, but we didn't leave, like, a circle around it where the rhubarb was. How will it come back?
I don't know. We plowed it under. That we shouldn't have done that. That's why I asked if you wanted to move it.
I never heard you say that.
No, whatever.
Okay. Question answered. It might not come back.
Okay. So, moving on to the chickens. Let's talk about chickens. I know we talk about the same thing over and over every podcast, but this is really interesting. So we started out the year with 19 hens and 3 roosters.
Yes.
We finished out with 0 hens and 0 roosters.
One properly slaughtered
and eaten. The rest were systematically devoured by wolves.
Well, let's break it down.
Okay.
Let's really break it down. A few committed suicide. A few escaped and never returned home, wanderers, and the rest were either systematically picked off and eaten by tasso, like some sort of weasel, or fox, and or wolf from the end. Or I even had one theory that I thought some, like, hobo was stealing them.
No hobo was stealing.
Remember when I got hooked on that? I was like,
I know we talked about this, but I'll recap it real quick. We used to let them totally free range all over the property, but they were getting picked off like one a day by the fox.
Well, last year, if we go all the way back, we had no problems. We had about the same amount of hens and roosters. We would lose throughout the entire year, every couple months. Odds I am completely willing to live with having them be free range. They only had their, what I call, secure bunker.
At night.
At night, which would be the coop.
Then we built them a playpen, which was about, like, 15 meters by 15 meters. It was a good size.
Yeah, because that was, then we had, like you said, we had that streak where we lost about 3 or 4 in about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And it at, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, he's a ballsy, fox.
Well, I call this year the fox got fat.
and then he was still picking them off through the playpen we built him, so it was just kind of weird, like, by September there was, like, 10, and then the end of September there was like 4.
And let's go back to the suicidals. They were what is called broody. And broody hens are what happens when they sit. And I think this is again due to the playpen, which was quite huge for them to be in, but it was still that they were that much closer to the eggs. And I guess if they are near the eggs a lot, sometimes they'll decide to sit and become broody and want to become mothers. And then they'll peck at you if you try to take their eggs.
They don't drink water.
Yeah, they stop eating. Then sometimes they're not, like, passing the eggs properly. I don't know. There's a lot of medical things that can go wrong, and I'm not into
sticking your hand up a chick's ass.
No, really I'm not. I'm into taking the eggs, saying, hey, cock-a-doodle-doo, and letting them do their thing. So, two of them were like, I tried to resuscitate them. Not like mouth to mouth, but I was like, oh my God, what do you do? One of them was like dying in front of me. It was just like too hot in the coop and not eating or drinking. This is what was hysterical. Talking to people about it. Like, okay, broody hens, what do you do? Gaji said it meant they were in heat. So like a dog, like, and I thought that meant like a dog, like, oh, it's kind of horny or something like that. Like it's in heat. Well, he literally meant the chicken was hot. and needed to be dunked in cold water, separated, not fed for 3 days. He had this crazy, like, regimen that you needed to do to snap a chicken out of it. When I told him that I thought this was ridiculous, he said, oh, so you just want to brush off hundreds of years of Italian farmers' information? Okay, you're better than that? All right, if you know so much, how many chickens have you raised? And then other friends of ours who are Dutch told us we needed to make a harness for the chicken to hang it in a tree overnight. And that would rid it of being broody. So throughout the summer, we've been given tons of information and all the chickens as they died.
Yeah, but
I found headless chickens.
It was not a good chicken year. So
no, this year was horrible.
We'll chalk it up and what's the word in English? Not sistema.
Resystem.
Resystem? No one says resystem.
I don't know what you're trying to say. We're going to rethink the whole chicken situation.
Thank you, yes.
I'm going to go back to free range completely.
Yeah, whatever. We need a dog. I think if we get a dog, that'll keep a fox away.
True. But at the end, it could have been a wolf.
Speaking of the wolves, about 2 weeks ago, I was walking around at early evening. It was dark. It was like 6:30.
You were close to the fence.
Yeah, and I hear these dogs howling, so I howl back at them, and all of a sudden, the hills erupted, not in dog barking, but in wolf howling.
Scariest thing ever.
It sounded like they're not close. I mean, it's not like they're in the front yard, but they're in the hills. So when you, like two or three times, especially on a clear night, like a clear, calm night.
Late. Like the later, the better.
Yeah, maybe more towards the 10 o'clock hour. They will howl back, and it is super scary.
It was so scary. I had to ask Jason to stop doing it because they sounded so close. I was afraid we were going to alert the wolves as to where we live, and they were going to come find us because I have not been. I've never had that like a scary movie feeling out here. Like you get over that real quick. Like oh, someone scary is going to come out of the bushes, like a Freddy Krueger movie. No, you start thinking the animals are going to attack you, but you also get over that pretty quickly, and you're like, all right, it's fine. They're more afraid of us. But when you heard the hills erupt into wolf howling, and that one night we heard them literally eating an animal alive.
Well, that's where I got the idea to howl.
Oh my god, I swear to god.
So that's kind of interesting. I've never heard that before. That was kind of scary.
Will the hunters kill them? Like you said, I thought nothing would even stick around.
I don't know. Maybe I'm sure the hunters will shoot anything that moves, but I wouldn't worry about wolves coming out and snatching you.
Oh my god, I am. I feel like it's like a perch snatcher.
Fall brings truffles. This year, the truffle season opened with a kind of a dud. It's been so dry this whole late summer and early spring, or early fall, excuse me, that there's not been a lot of truffles at all. Truffle prices are ridiculously expensive, like prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, a guy came out of our woods yesterday.
I wanted to get a truffle for this party we're doing, a couple truffles, and I asked him, and he had one about the size of a small walnut, and he wanted 150 euro for it. And that is a ton of money. It was a white truffle, but man, that's expensive this year.
Especially coming from our woods, like, dude.
No, that's the going rice.
On our property.
No way.
No,
that's the going rate.
You parked in our driveway and you can't hook it up a little bit?
No, that probably is hooked up. Anyway, they're really expensive.
Yeah, that's expensive. What I mean. If that's hooked up, jeez Louise, look.
So there will be not a lot of eating the truffles this year. We had them once or twice.
We had a few in the fall.
But not really happening that much. Everything's kind of closing down. The Aquilania Truffle Festival, this is the last weekend, so it kind of rounds out the fall festivals.
Mm-hmm.
The grapes this year they were early. The grapes were early. The
olives too.
Olives were early this year. We had a chance to go visit some friends down in Puglia. Martina Franca, about 5.5 or 6 hours south of us, right on the heel. Like the end of the peninsula was a half hour away.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, we've never been that far south.
Totally different. You would think you're in a different country, very Baroque.
Well, no, you'd think you're in Sicily.
Yeah, it looks very Sicilian, the Baroque, the scrubby kind of terrain with the cactuses and the kind of
not fences, but how they used to, it seems like it's some sort of ancient farming or...
They make these dry walls with rock where there's no mortar in between the in between the rocks. It's just dirt, so they call it a muro secco.
And they're short, and it's probably to keep...
animals or divide property lines, but we saw those a lot in Sicily, and they also had them down in Puglia, and it was interesting, a totally different
And the
feel.
Trulies!
The Trulies
were truly amazing! They were so cute! I couldn't stop with the puns, if that is shocking. And, and so I asked our friend Teresa, what is up with the Trulies? What's the story? And she was saying she had heard it was something to do with a prince or duke or something that had lived down there. I think a prince, she said. And that he had tried to help the people get away from housing tax. And so if they built these properties, these little houses, without the normal housing material of bricks and mortar, but they did it with whatever they used.
I think it's a mud. I think it's
like
mud bricks.
Mud kind of thing. Then they didn't have to pay their property tax. Something along these lines. Anyway.
We're not big on the specifics of the story.
I'm just big on how cute they were. And they were adorable. So they're tiny, like not very tall inside, but just really cool to see them all
almost inside. Like igloo shaped.
Mm-hmm. With funny little like turrets on top. And it just had such a different look, like not the ski chalet kind of feeling of the north or the stone farmhouses of central Italy. So it just was so totally different. It was nice.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Pane Pugliese?
Pane Pugliese, yes, they have salted bread down there, and it really, really feels like the south.
We'll have to go back.
We will have to go back. Really cool down there, though. But we drove down in an absolute monsoon storm. It was crazy.
It was.
We also took a trip up north, so we don't go anywhere for about 8 months a year because we're not stuck at the house, but, you know, there's always stuff to do here. We run a agriturismo, so once the season ends, we try to get out and do a little car trips. We went to Bavaria and southern Germany and Austria.
And to Trier, so like, also like the northern Italy, Austria, that whole little square.
From our house to Innsbruck, Austria is 6 hours, and then it's probably another, that's really where all this stuff starts, and then we drove the romantic road of Bavaria, which was really, really nice. It was beautiful.
Uh-huh, and we did, like, the whole thing from Würzburg and I think it's Würzburg, and then we stayed in Rothenburg, which is adorable, and that is a like, they filmed Harry Potter stuff there. Like, it's just quintessential medieval tiny little Walden town. And we did Dinglesburg. That's where you had really good brats, yeah. Where you waited in that long line. And then we went all the way down to Füssen, and that's where there was the Neuschwanstein. No, I'm looking up there because that's the castle I'm pointing. What's it called?
Ludwig's Castle.
Ludwig II.
Who knows?
Neuschwanstein's.
There's like 18 letters in this. Hold on, I'll try to. Schloss Neuschwanstein. Well, you took German.
Schloss Neuschwanstein. The Royal Castle Neuschwanstein.
The King of Bavaria built this castle in the late 1800s just for fun, just because he liked it, and he died before it was done.
He was crazy.
He was nuts. It was a beautiful castle, and it looks like Cinderella.
That's what they fashioned him.
What Walt Disney fashioned Cinderella's castle out of was this castle by King Ludwig II.
And we ate a lot. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say Spätzle, Schnitzel, brats, and beer.
Yes. So, a couple of things about my first foray into Germany. I've driven through Germany. Many times, but I've never actually spent time there.
Except in the bathroom.
Yes, except at their little...
Because it's pay bathrooms. It drives me crazy. And you get these little coupons for 50 cents, and you're like, oh, great, I'll just go in and get a Coke. How much could a Coke cost? It's $3.75.
So they make it up. Germany was very nice. The people were very nice. The breakfast, they eat a ton. I thought Americans eat breakfast. The Germans, they can put some breakfast down, too, which is cool, because when we lived in the States, it was no problem. I love Sunday morning breakfast, like breakfast. But we're not used to it anymore. Now I just have a cappuccino, and then that's it till like 11, and then maybe you have a little something, and then you have lunch. But the Germans, because they eat breakfast, so to have meats and cheeses and smoked salmon and these beautiful breads.
They threw down.
They do throw down. But it was very good. And the German roads are gorgeous.
That was nice.
Even the side roads, like the B roads, are nice and wide, perfectly paved. They're built to drive fast. And the Germans drive. One thing I love about Italy and Germany is they drive the cars.
They do. Here is a question about Italy and Germany. Very close in proximity.
Yes, here's another. Yes, go ahead.
You know, it's not, as the crow flies, quite close actually. What the hell is with the coffee?
I don't know. We were staying in Fussen, which is no more than an hour from the border of Italy. And the Austrians and the Germans can't make a decent cup of coffee. Why? Why? Go down. Talk to your neighbors to the south. They make a beautiful cup of coffee. The Italians can make coffee.
What is the deal?
I don't know. I don't know either.
It's quite sad, and it's the first thing we do when we get back over.
As soon as we cross into Italy and we pass the first auto grill, I have to say,
I was quite thrilled, because on this trip, everyone thought we were Italian, and I was loving it, and I thought, yes, we blend like Italians. Jason wanted to blend like Germans and just blend wherever
we were. I just
want
to be a chameleon. I don't want to stick out at all.
I was like, if I'm going to stick out, I'd like to stick out them thinking I was Italian, which I liked, because everywhere we'd go, they'd start speaking to us in Italian.
Ashley was in charge of communications, because she took three years of German?
Yeah.
And,
at a very nice private school.
She would have her problem was her first line was too strong. And then they would just start.
One guy kept talking to us for like 2 days in German when he'd see me.
So after her first line, it went downhill very quickly.
Very quickly.
Give me your first line and see how nice it sounds.
Oh God, no, I don't even remember anything. Guten Abend, haben Sie ein Zimmer? Yeah, I would start it like this. Yeah. Guten Abend, haben Sie ein Zimmer für eine Nacht? Zwei Personen.
And it was great. They were like, oh, yeah, yeah. Da, da, da. And it was like, oh, okay, sorry. Da, da, da. English. And then I look at you confused, like, why the hell would you come in such a strong first German line if you can't speak German, if you have no idea what I'm saying to you back.
And then I would just let him go for a while, and I'd be like, yeah, not as good. And,
excuse me, my cake is done.
A Nutella walnut cake. Perfect timing, shall I say. It smells so good. This is one of those recipes that we first started doing when we moved here. Well, my sister was here as well, and I'll never forget it because we were translating the recipe from this tiny little cookbook of local recipes from, like, the Urbino area, and it said 125 grams of cioccolata fondante, and we just thought that meant Nutella. And so we started putting Nutella in it from the get-go. Then an Italian lady came over and said, "Where did you get this recipe? Let me see." And she said, "That just means chocolate, not...
Bar chocolate.
Bar chocolate, not necessarily... Nutella.
Dark chocolate,
I'm sorry. They said bar chocolate. And so we had not even realized, we had kind of adjusted this recipe, and it's delicious. Chocolate Nutella.
It's on the website. It's
on
the blog.
It is, but it's just become a staple.
Okay.
Oh my God. Shall we talk about our promesa?
Yes. So let's roll into a little... We don't get, living in the countryside, I think we get shielded a little bit from the bureaucracy and red tape and things that can drive you absolutely insane about Italy. Once a year, we have to go get our permesso di soggiorno, which is our permission to stay or our green card. For the first 5 years, it's good for only a year. And then the next one we get coming up now will be good for 5 years. Would you like to...
You were doing great. So we go to... Well, now we go to Urbino, which is only about half an hour away. We used to go to Pesaro, which was quite a bit longer, which also means that the Urbino station is smaller because it's more inland. It's not as big of a city. So they know us there, which all these things really help. But we went there in what? June? March?
No.
March.
March.
And to reapply for our permesso, like Jason said. And it just arrived 3 weeks ago? end of October. So we get the cards. First of all, we go in. We finally have a Monday, which was the day that you were supposed to go pick it up, free. And from all summer, you know, we've been busy in breakfasts and all of these things. So we finally in October have a Monday free. We go. And they say, oh, no, no. It's only Thursdays.
Thursday afternoons from 2:30 to 4 is the only time you can pick this up.
Please note, there's no one in the office.
Office is empty. Crickets. We're standing there. I'm sure the cards are in a file cabinet.
No, he looked because he told you they're here.
Oh, that's right. He did look through them. He's staring at the frickin' card. Anyway, regardless.
He's staring at the card saying, oh, yes, they're here. They're here. You have to come back on Thursday. And there is a huge woodpecker.
Yeah, that is a big woodpecker.
Ooh, shiny. So we come back. Then we're busy and we go out of town. So we have to wait. Now it's into the beginning of November. We finally go on the Thursday, pick up our card. We look at it. Oh, so proud. So excited. We have this. It expires December 31st.
So, I don't know why that was surprising to us, because they always are only good for a year, but it's like, Jesus, we just got this thing. You get this kit, they call it a kit, which is about 40 pages that you have to fill out, then you have to go and get a tax stamp for €14.62. Then you
all have the photocopies of everything, too, so it turns into be like 99 pages.
Of stuff. You have to then go and pay like €48 for some bolo, this
other thing. I think it comes out to 64 something because you have to, yeah, you get a couple of those.
I would much rather them just send me a letter every year and say, listen, you're foreigners, we want €150 a year. Just send us money. Instead, we have to give them...
It's the hoops.
It's the going to Urbino the four times. It's the filling out the same information that nothing has changed in the 4 years we're here. Our thumbprints haven't changed. Our fingerprints haven't changed.
Yeah, just do something like you just ask for our tax forms or something.
It seems like something you could just email all the stuff and send them a wire transfer and be done with it.
Done.
But it's just hair pulling.
So essentially, we got this at the beginning of November. It expires at the end of December, and we need to now start doing our paperwork.
Okay. So you have to go in the month before it's due and start doing your paperwork. So that means in the beginning of December, we'll be starting the process all over again.
It's totally crazy.
5 passport photos each.
Benvenuti a Italia.
So I know we complain and we joke, but in actuality, we get a very, very small amount of hassle compared to other people we know or things we've seen on expat websites. We're lucky.
Horror stories of being in a bigger city. I mean, we're really lucky. It's just a crack up. It doesn't get old.
It does not get old. Do you have any funny anecdotes or anything to round out the podcast before we throw out all our info?
No, nothing funny.
Do you have anything depressing or something that could bump people out?
No, nothing depressing. Well, my God. Oh, I guess, should we talk about Berlusconi? We don't know anything about it. We don't really talk politics. But as of this podcast, Berlusconi is not the...
No, we have Super Mario. Mario something.
Yes. We're not into politics here because we try not to talk about it with our neighbors. You start drawing heavy lines in the sand when you start talking about these things. All we know is Gaji and Rosanna are not happy. And
he's not dynamic. He's a professor of economics and he's not dynamic, they said.
No. So...
Gaji says some other things, but they're not repeatable.
No, not at all. I mean, we could take this podcast to a whole nother level and start... doing Gotchi-isms, but that would make this R-rated. But
So, very excited for tomorrow.
It'll be fun.
We'll come back with another podcast hopefully next week. And I think we should start getting back into telling some stories about when we moved here or things that are, you know, we did a good job of that. Mm-hmm. We hadn't caught up for a while.
I know, we got to talk about the wood. There's a lot to start talking about now that it's wintertime. We can go over recipes and things like that if people like. Perhaps we'll start pairing it with some video. Buster is at the window asking to come in.
Sorry, Busty. Not happening. Anyway.
Ciao, Booster.
Throw out, you're losing interest in your own podcast. Let's throw out our information.
You can find us at latavolamarche.com, LatavolaMarche.com. You can find us on our blog, latavolamarche.blogspot.com. Any of the recipes, you can find it through our blog or our recipe box, which is latavolamarcherecipebox.blogspot.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook.
We're freaking filling up for the summer, too. So if you want to come out to the countryside and cook, stay in the inn, or any of that, book now.
From cold and beautiful Piobico,
yes,
Italy.
Frosty.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you very much for listening. And we will come back to you very soon with hopefully some interesting, entertaining, informative thing that is happening in our lives.
Yes, so we got to get back to cooking.
We do. We got a lot of stuff to do. It's time to get going. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Ciao. And pump the brakes. We're not quite ready to cut to print yet. It is now 3 days later, the 22nd of November. And
told you we can't get it up.
Exactly, exactly our point. We can never get these podcasts up fast enough. We had the Thanksgiving lunch. It was great. And anything you'd like to add? We just thought we'd give a little addendum at the end.
Anything funny that happened? Not really. Just typical funny stuff like the seating arrangement when people sat down. It was like 10 minutes for someone has to take control, like, and tell everyone where to sit. Seating arrangement is very important.
Very important.
In these lunches. Usually Gachi does this.
This will bottle up your lunch quicker than anything if you don't have a seating arrangement.
I don't usually involve myself in
No. Things. And I tell people, just sit wherever you want. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Like, really? You're really going to let us just sit wherever we want? And guests for a 1 o'clock lunch started arriving at 10:35.
Yep.
Yes. Very good, though. It was wonderful. They loved the turkey. And as usual...
Oh, so just to let everyone know what a typical Sunday Italian lunch is. Guests arrived at around 10:30. What time did the last person leave?
5:30.
Yes. So...
Which was early.
It was early because, well, the sun went down really
late. It was dark, so it felt late. But technically, it was early.
So
if this was over the summer, it would have been about...
7:30.
Yeah.
Whenever they started getting hungry again,
Yes. They
would leave and go home. But
which is always my fear, that they're going to start getting hungry again and just say, why don't you start pulling out those leftovers? And I'm like, no.
But everything went great. Of course, I made too much food.
Way too much food. But it was good.
Carolina's apple tart that she brought over is just like the apple tart in Amsterdam. Delicious.
Oh, it just made it feel like holiday.
And Lana made me my very own crostata with fig jam and walnut or almonds on top.
It tastes like grandma. It tastes like what a grandma would make.
It is awesome. I shared it with Carolina, but other than that, I'm going to take it to my head.
There you go. All right. So we'll try to post it now today, November 22nd. Have a great day, everyone.
Ciao.